You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't, you're just at my mercy. If you do, follow along with me. Amen. In fact, turn with me, if you will. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I want to teach on, I don't know, as far as the title, just, you know, we're in a fight, you know, as far as the subject of what we're teaching on tonight is life is a battle. I mean, that's pretty obvious. To give the impression that life does not have battles would just be an untrue and an unscriptural impression. I mean, to say that I become a Christian, I've accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, now everything's going to be perfect. No, absolutely not. There's going to be trouble because we're in a broken, fallen world. There's going to be battles because life is a battle. I mean, simply put, life's a battle. The Bible tells us that in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you're also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Think about that. You don't have to turn there. I'm just making a point. But 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. So life is a fight. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight whether we'll trust God or not trust God. Trust Him for our family and for our finances and for our church and our country, whatever the case may be. It's a fight of trust. It's a fight of faith. I mean, when the devil, you think about it, he's our adversary. We have a fight. We also have an adversary. 2 Peter 3:8 tells us that beware your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant. Beware your adversary, the devil, who walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So we have a fight, and we have an adversary. We have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. Nothing really to be concerned about concerning him. If you'll get in faith, you resist him steadfast in the faith. Isn't that what it says? In fact, James 4:7 tells us this. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's interesting. He said submit to God first, then he said resist the devil second. So our authority and our ability to win comes through our submission. You know, we have authority to the degree that we submit. I know that sounds different, but actually that's just the way it works. Same way in a company. If you go hire on a company, the more you submit, the more authority they give you.
That's right.
Amen? So the more we submit to God, the more authority we have. And why would we need it? Well, because we're in a battle. We have an enemy. The devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I love that permissive sense there where he says, seeking whom he may devour. May devour. See, we can stop him. We can say, no, you can't. We cannot give him permission, as it were. And, of course, the good news is not only do we have an ally, an adversary, but we have an ally. God's on our side.
Yeah.
And actually, winning's kind of a foregone conclusion if we fight, if we don't give up, don't quit. We're going to win. 1 John 4:4 says, we have overcome them. Past tense, already done, went and did it. Mm-hmm. We have overcome them, little children, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. And then 1 John 5:4-5 tells us that whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4-5, tells us whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Yeah.
And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Woo!
Right.
Hallelujah. So, you know, those are just, you know, keep it simple. It's pretty simple. Life's a battle. Mm-hmm. We have an adversary, mm-hmm. an enemy. We have an ally, God. The fight's a fight of faith. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we overcome by faith. Now, however complicated life gets and whatever is thrown at you and whatever you're going through, those simple things don't change. That pretty well sums it up. I'm having this going on. I'm having that going on. Well, let's remember who our enemy is. Let's remember what our battle is. It's a battle of faith. Let's remember how we win this thing. We believe God. We trust God. Whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whatever the case may be. We can't just lay down and let life happen.
Right.
We're not here to lay down and let life happen.
No.
Christianity is a fighting truth. It's a fighting I don't want to say religion because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the truth. We fight. Hallelujah. Paul talks about fighting. That's what I want to minister on here is that we have to fight. We can't lay down. See, the day you quit is the day you lose.
That's right.
And when you get back up on your feet and start believing, that's when you start winning again. And you know, Bill Russell, he's a famous basketball player. You know, he said the game's scheduled. We have to play it. Might as well win it.
Yeah.
And so life is scheduled. We got to play this game. We might as well win it.
Right.
Now, I know there are days go by we don't feel like we won, but we don't quit. We win this deal. Amen?
Amen.
Bob and I were talking about that today. This is one of these days, and kind of had a day like that. I like to start over. And we get to start over. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's another day. We get to start it over again. But, you know, God's will is that we win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, I was just sharing with them in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. It talks about one of the curses is that in the morning you get up and you'd say, would to God it were evening. And the evening comes around and you'd say, would to God it were morning. You just wish it was all over, you know. Well, hey, you know, God doesn't want you to live like that. There's going to be challenges in life. There's going to be battles in life. But, you know, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have victory. There's going to be some days that are more challenging than others. I understand that. But life is a battle. I mean, I might get some bad reports from time to time about my children or grandchildren or whatever. But, you know, that's when I dig in and that's when I fight. That's when I pray. And that's when I beat that day. Might get some bad reports about me. But, hey, that's when we get down and we start believing God. That's just part of life. We're not in heaven. Now, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. You don't fight darkness and depression in heaven. You don't fight the temptation to give in and, you know, just hide away somewhere. You don't have that in heaven. Heaven is a place of joy. But we're not in heaven. We're here. But the good news is God has given us what we need to make it, hallelujah, to win these battles, to fight these battles and to win these battles. And He said He would not leave us, and He said He would never forsake us. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, Paul's talking to Timothy here, and we can take heart and take instruction ourselves from what he said to him. And he said here in the second chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says in the third verse, "You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I like that. I like that analogy. The command, of course, to endure hardness, and the analogy of that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. At least I'm in a right army.
Yes.
Hello. I mean, here's some good news. We do win this deal. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it seemed like I read a little bit here, and it seemed like He wins this deal in the end. Amen? And actually, in many cases, He's already won the victory, already got the victory, and we're just kind of living in that victory. But he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I like that. We should endure hardness. We should endure discipline. We should discipline ourselves. We should be people of prayer and people that trust God and people that don't give in and don't quit, but follow through. You know, follow through with what we're believing. Follow through with what we're dreaming according to God's Word. Follow through with what God's will is for our life. See, God's will does not automatically happen in our lives. There's this idea in some churches that just whatever God wants is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, that sounds well and good. It just happens to not be scriptural. The Bible tells us very plainly that we're part of the process. He compels us to follow His commandments. He compels us to obey His principles and stand on His promises and to call on Him when we're in time of need and ask and seek and knock. And if we do that, He would answer and He'd open the door. Are you with me? He would be found and He'd open the door. So here He's telling us, you got a part to play here. You endure hardness as a good soldier. There's going to be tough days.
Yeah, there is.
There's just going to be tough days. I don't know, just the way it is. Life's a battle. Life's got rough edges. Everybody's not always nice. Hello. I wish they were. You know, there are days when everybody's just sweet as pie, and there's days it just doesn't work that way. But we have to endure hardness as a good soldier stands at the post. I don't care whether the battle's raging or not raging.
Right.
It's easy to serve God when everything's going good, but the temptation to quit comes when opposition comes, or when you know, we have a tough day, or maybe things aren't looking good or lining up. God's word's still true.
That's right.
God still do what He says. We still win this deal. We're in it to win it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. That's what we're in this thing for. Hallelujah. And so we just have to endure those times and discipline ourselves in those times and go through the motions. I'm thoroughly convinced that God is actually more pleased with us when we're standing on His Word and we're trusting Him and we're saying what He's saying when everything is going wrong and we don't feel one thing in our spirit about this. I don't feel like faith man at all. I don't feel like God's there sometimes. But But I know His Word's true. And I really believe that God's more pleased at those times because He's going to look at, you know, nothing's going right and they're still trusting me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you with me? Right. See, God, faith pleases God. It pleases Him. It doesn't take a lot of faith when everything's going wonderful. And hey, thank God for those good days. Thank God when everybody around you is encouraging you and lifting you and helping you and blessing you. Are you with me? Thank God for that. But there's sometimes you just can't seem to find anybody to believe with you.
Yeah.
Seem like you're out there on your own, but you know you're not. God's with you.
Yeah.
His word's still true. He'll still do what He says.
Yeah.
It's not time to give up. It's not time to quit.
Praise God.
It's time to dig in.
Yes.
Amen. Don't give up the victory. Dig up the victory. So it says, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. There's where we mess up. I think that's where we falter, is we get sidetracked. Now this is, we ought to understand this tactic. This is strategy. This strategy is the devil's strategy. It's his tactic. It's what he does. He's king at it. He is awesome at this. The devil loves to distract us. He loves to get us off of the promise of God, get our focus off God and what He will do and what God's nature and character is, His goodness, His mercy, His love for us. God's crazy about us. But the devil likes us to get distracted and forget that and think somehow that God's not going to come through this time. He's not going to help us this time. He's not going to do what He says this time. So He distracts us and He gets us detoured and gets us deceived. And we get entangled in things that we don't need to be thinking about or roads we don't need to be going down, talking things we don't need to be talking. Hello. Entertaining thoughts we don't need to entertain. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen, if you're in a battle and you're out there and you got an enemy out here coming at you and you got weapons, you better take focus and you better aim and you better shoot. It's not time to watch the birds fly around.
That's true.
And that's what the devil does. He tries to get us distracted with something going on, or maybe some report we heard over here, or you know, and then we lose focus. We forget to aim. Woo. Got to be disciplined. Are you with me? I mean, you know, sometimes with pain and tragedy and emotions, they do distract us. I mean, they do happen. We understand that. But boy, we've got to dig in and focus at those times and trust God and call on God. Call on something. Get somebody else to pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says, any sick man, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with all the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith shall say, the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. He's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. James 5:14-15. The 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen? So try not to get distracted. Think about yourself in a battle. Think of yourself as a soldier of Jesus Christ. There is a war going on in the earth today. There is a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your children and your health and your finances and the church and our country. Are you with me? The list just goes on and on. Now, we can just whine and moan and complain, or we can get up and we can fight.
That's right.
We can fight with the Word. We can pray in the name of Jesus. We can bring these things to the Lord. We can make them points of prayer, matters of prayer. Or we can just gripe and complain. But no, we're soldiers.
Amen?
Amen? And we're going to fight and we're going to win. Amen.
Yes.
So he says, he goes on in the 5th verse, and now you use an analogy of an athlete. He says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. In other words, you skip the first mile and jump into the second. You got to run the first mile. Hello. And then the second, then the third. You don't skip points. You discipline yourself. I can tell you something else. Athletes that go out there and run, they don't skip training.
No, they
don't just show up on the day they run. They're training all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that Paul uses the examples of a soldier whose soldier's gone through boot camp. He's already trained. He's learned how to use that gun. Those guys in the military, they can take guns apart, blindfold, and pull them back together, literally.
Yes, they can.
They train to do that. So they're not rattled when it comes time to use that gun. It's just second nature, as it were. They shoot, 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 they shoot all the time. You know, so they're not trying to learn how to shoot and hit the target when the war starts. See, a lot of this, and this is where we miss it, a lot of what happens is while you're in church and you're coming to church and things are going fine and you're learning all this stuff and you're thinking, well, you know, I'll never need this stuff. No, there's a day coming you will need it.
That's right.
But we're training. We're training. We're training. Every day we come into church, we're training. Every day we open up our Bible, we're training. Every day we pray, we're training. We're disciplined. We're going through the motions because there's going to come a day that we will need to get serious.
Yes.
Maybe not today. I'm not prophesying doom, gloom on any of us. I'm just saying life is a battle. There's going to come days where you're going to have to dig in there and get all that training that you put yourself through and use all that training and all that discipline. Hello.
That's good. Yeah.
And so stay in shape, spiritually speaking. Amen. An athlete, I think it's wonderful when you think about an athlete, and he uses that analogy. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There are rules in any game, and so you learn those rules and you discipline yourself to work within those rules. Well, there's rules concerning prayer. There's rules concerning serving God. And you learn what those rules are, and you discipline yourself to work with those rules. Learn to talk in faith, not talk negatively. Are you with me? Learn to pray about things, not complain about things. Learn to thank God and praise Him for the answer, instead of whining because you don't have the answer. These are rules. They're just rules. This is the game. And the game has rules. And if we're going to win, we've got to play by the rules.
Right.
Are you with me? Temptations comes. Don't give in to it. That's part of the rules. You don't give in to temptation. You serve God. You live holy. You live right. Amen? The temptation comes in to assert your authority and get your own way and criticize others and be bitter and angry and mad about, oh, no, that's not, you can't do that. No, we're not, we don't do that. We pray for each other. We can't hold unforgiveness and bitterness.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, you do that, you're laying your weapon down. Woo! Yeah. And you think of an athlete crosses that line and, boy, everybody's cheering and hollering and he breaks that ribbon and, you know, but what you don't realize is how many months and sometimes years, these guys that run these marathons, they train every day. And they run. They run when nobody's watching. There's no ribbon to break. And there's nobody cheering, nobody clapping and agging them on. They're just working. It's just work. They're disciplined. They're running because they know there's a race coming. There's a race coming. And they want to make sure they're in shape for this race when it does come. I'm going to tell you, the devil is coming. He comes to all. I don't say that in a bad or negative way. We're just in the world. We're not in heaven. And if Jesus didn't come back, you're going to have a battle. We all have battles. I mean, there's nobody in here who hadn't gone through some crisis. Now, the good news is not that there's crisis. The good news is that we got help. We got hope. And we got strength. And we can train. We can get ready. We can discipline ourselves. We can learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. We may grieve, but we don't grieve as those that have no hope. We have hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Are you out there?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you with me? So, you know, not to this, you could take it negatively, but it's just God's preparing us. A lot of the promises of God and, you know, the power in the name of Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues, all these things that He's talking, He's empowering us. He's empowering us because He knows life's a battle. He knows we have an enemy. So, you know, we kind of go through life sometimes and think, well, that's kind of nice. Y'all believe this, we believe this. Well, you know, I'm not really involved in serving God. Well, you need to get involved serving God. You need to really get involved about praying. You need to get involved standing on the Word because you're going to need it. God knows it. And if you've been around long, any time at all, you know it too. Amen? So, he says this about a soldier. He says this about an athlete. Then he says a sixth verse, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Well, that makes sense. You know, it's nice to go out there when you heard the little red hen story. Everybody wants to eat the bread after it's baked. But the little red hen went around asking, hey, y'all want to help me come plant these, this wheat so I can get this ready for some. Then, of course, the pig said, not I, you know, and the cow said, no, you know. I'm too busy. I ain't got time to do that. And then she goes out and plants all. She said, I'll just plant it myself. And, you know, she plants all the wheat herself. And then comes time to, you know, weed it and Hey, who wants to help me weed it? Nobody wanted to help, you know. The cow was busy. The dog was busy. Pig was busy making a mud puddle somewhere. And the story just goes on. And finally, it comes time to harvest. Nobody wanted to help harvest. You know, it's just a classic story. And then when it all comes down, she's baking the bread. Well, now when it comes time to eat, everybody showed up. All of a sudden, the pig's not busy. And the cow hadn't got a thing in the world to do. And the dog, he is hungry. Hello. But see, life doesn't work that way. The farmer that gets a harvest of his fruit or vegetables or whatever, he has spent months and months plowing ground and planting and cultivating and weeding and fertilizing. Are you with me? And sometimes irrigating if he has to. And then he goes out and harvests all that and brings all that vegetables and fruit in. But see, that's a representation of a lot of discipline, a lot of work, daily going out, daily doing what's right. And we see the fruit of that, and often we miss how much commitment it took to get that fruit.
Right.
And it's no different in God. I mean, if we want a blessed life, then it takes work to have a blessed life. We work at this thing. Now, I'm saved by grace. I understand that. My work doesn't save me. But I'll tell you what, whether I have victory in life or not has a lot to do with how much work I do. If I'm going to be successful as a Christian, if I'm going to be a person that really can love and does love, if I'm going to be blessed, and my family's going to serve God, it's going to take discipline and it's going to take work for that to happen. My family doesn't just serve God just because I'm a pastor and just because I preach. I actually literally, might shock you, I actually literally had to live this in my home in order for my children to serve God. Children don't serve God because you go to church.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah. Amen. Marriages don't work and stay together just because you show up on Sundays.
Yeah. That's right.
Woo!
That's good.
Are you out there? I'll tell you why it happens. It happens because you live it when you get back home.
Yeah. That's right.
You live what you hear. You work out what you hear. I'm not talking about being perfect. We're not perfect. We've made a lot of mistakes, but you know what? We've prayed about things. We believe God over our kids. We've prayed together about things. We pray over meals. We tell our children to pray and believe God. When they'd have issues in school, we get together and get scriptures and tell them to stand on these scriptures, and we believe with them. Hello? And when they come in, we wouldn't just kiss their finger if they got a cut or a hurt. We'd pray over it. And our children were raised up to come run to us and say, oh, Mom and Daddy, would you pray with us? Would you pray? My knee hurts. Make the pain go away. And they're just raised up that you pray when things happen. You pray when you have pain. You pray when you're having trouble in school. You believe God. You stand on the Word. Wow, new concept. No, that's not a new concept. That's just the way you ought to live.
Yeah.
Are you with me? That's some of the running you do as an athlete when no one's looking. That's some of the boot camp you're going through before there's ever a battle as a soldier. That's some of the planting and the weeding and the cultivating and the fertilizing that goes on before you harvest. And maybe people don't see that, but I'll tell you what, in the end, it will show up.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe you hadn't done that, but you know, this is not a message of condemnation. This is saying let's start doing it today. Maybe you hadn't been praying over everything. Maybe when things go wrong, you don't pray. Well, hey, start making it a habit to pray. Amen. Believe God. Trust God. Hey, let's fight this thing.
That's right. That's right.
You can't opt out. You're here.
Yeah.
Life just keeps going. We might as well win this battle. Amen.
Right.
The hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. 7th verse. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I love that. Man, isn't that awesome how he talked about soldiers and athletes and farmers, and he talked about battles and training and planting. And man, what a message for us. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. Is this helping you? You may be right now, you may be just, you know, weeding some plants right now. You may just be running and you know, training. You may feel like you're in boot camp. That's okay. That's all right. It takes that. You got to do some of that too. Paul, again speaking in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Wow, I like that. I ought to live my life in such a way that I may win it. I ought to live purposely, if I can't even say the word. You still need to live that way. Live with a purpose. Live with an intent, a goal, a dream in mind. Fight to win this thing. Are you with it? Run to win this thing. Plant to get a harvest. What are we doing every day? You know, as Christians, we ought to be believing and standing on the Word. We ought to have a goal. We ought to have a dream. We ought to be improving. We ought to be getting better. We ought to be overcoming obstacles. We ought to be winning battles and the challenges of life. If you're having trouble with anger, overcome it. If you're having trouble with depression, fight it. Fight it in Jesus' name. If you're having trouble loving people, get on your knees and battle and fight through that thing and train yourself to love people and discipline yourself to pray for people. Don't give in. Don't quit. Listen, we're in this thing. Let's win this thing.
That's right. Amen.
Hello.
That's good.
I mean, what's happening to you happens to everybody. Yeah. You're not the only one.
That's right.
We all fight these things. I just feel so hopeless. I just feel like I just don't have a purpose. Well, don't you give in to that. Don't you? No, you have a purpose. God loves you. He's for you. You're a light. You're a witness. You're an encouragement to some. Some people look up to you. You need to serve God. They need to see you serving God.
Mm, that's good. Yeah.
Your children need to see you serve God. They need to see you win. Don't quit now. We've come too far.
Yeah.
Mm. Hello, I got grandchildren now I got to serve God for. It's not over now. My children are grown. Man, is it ever going to be over? No, it's not. It's never going to be over. I need to serve God. I need to serve God for me.
Yeah.
Are you with me? But I'm not the only one in this deal. Hallelujah. So, one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. 25th verse. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or goes into strict training, I believe the New International Version says. It's temperate in all things. I go into strict. There's just some things I don't allow myself to do. I don't. Maybe it's okay. Maybe the world does it. But, you know, I don't. I don't do that because it's going to take away from my faith. It's going to take away from my concentration here. It's going to take away from my focus. And it'll take away from my witness. You know, everything in life doesn't have to do with your salvation. It has to do with your witness. Most things in life have to do with your witness. And it has to do with your spiritual growth. See, some people just make a big issue out of this. Can I still do this and be a Christian? Well, yeah, you're saved because you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But see, that's not the question, can you still do this and be a Christian? The question is, can you do that and still be a witness?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that and still grow? And can you do that and still keep your faith?
Yeah.
Oh, got to chew on that one a while. Okay. Because if I do that, is that going to help my faith or is that going to dampen my faith? God forbid I'd get older and my faith gets weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
God forbid I'd get older and finally not even believe at all. Wow. Well, are you saying that you don't believe you're saved and going to heaven? Yes, I do. I believe I'm saved. You say you don't believe in eternal security? I believe I'm eternal secure because I believe in Jesus. Because I believe in Jesus. How about you? You believe in Jesus? I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. But you know why? Because I believe in Jesus. Don't plan on stopping believing in Jesus. In fact, I'm not going to start living a life that's going to affect my faith. You don't go to hell for doing bad things. You don't go to heaven doing good things. Go to heaven because you believe God. Because you trust God. Go to hell because you don't believe in God. You don't trust in Jesus. Now, why would I do something that's going to affect my trust in Jesus? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if I continue to believe, oh, obviously, sure, I'm saved by faith. There's no question about it. If I continue to believe, I'm going to heaven. So I'm eternally secure because I'm believing. But if I cease to believe, God's not going to take me to heaven kicking and screaming.
That's right.
25th verse says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or goes into strict training in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I got a purpose. I got a plan. I got a goal. I'm going to win this deal. I'm going for the prize. I'm headed for the finish line. I'm not going to do this for a little while and quit and give up when the weather gets rough. Hello. When obstacles start showing up. No. I discipline my body, 27th verse, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified for the prize. You know, everything I started out believing God for, I hadn't got. How about you? And it didn't, I tell you what, it wasn't because God said no. It's because I gave up. When God says yes, He means yes. He doesn't mean no. When He says, do thus and so, and I will do thus and so, God will always do what He says if we do what we're supposed to do. But if I quit now, God can't follow through with it if I quit. And sometimes I've started out in faith believing for something, and I just quit believing. That's what He's saying we don't need to do. Well, I'm just tired. Wait a minute. What do you mean you're tired? You mean you're just going to quit believing? I'm just tired of believing. I'm tired of standing. I'm tired of confessing the Word. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of believing. So what are we going to do now? We're going to not believe, going to not pray, going to not trust God? Now, we've all said this, so don't think I'm slamming anybody, because we all fight this. We're in the battle sometimes, but that's when you need to get somebody to pray with you and somebody to stand with you. Don't you give up. Don't you quit, because you're going to lose if you quit.
That's right.
I know you're tired. Hey, sometimes the battle's tough, but that's why we've got brothers and sisters to agree with us and to hold up our arms and help us in our faith. And that's why you need to get in church and pray and, get in an environment of faith. To encourage your faith. Get around people that are going to encourage your faith. Listen to things and programs and tapes, CDs, whatever are going to encourage you. Woo!
Amen, man.
Sure, it's getting quiet in here. Y'all out there, you going home? This will help you. Because, see, I want to tell you what the inclination is. It's a natural thing. When things are going bad and going wrong and you're having a tough time, you want to draw away. You want to give up. You just want to throw the towel in. See, that's the devil trying to get you to quit, because if you quit, you lose. Only one way you can lose this deal, and that's to quit. God's given us faith to use so we will not lose. And you just can't lose for the stuff we use. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so... So here again, he's talking about athletes. He's talking about training. He's talking about winning. He's talking about going for it and going and getting the prize. Turn over to Isaiah. I'm just throwing some stuff at her. Isaiah 41. Is this helping you?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 41. Hey, some days, man, everybody's shouting, we're breaking the ribbon and we're crossing the line. Some days, we're just running. We're running, but we're running to win. Some days we're just going through the motions. We're just saying it. We're praying it. Are you with me? We're living it. We're going over it. We're looking at the Word. We're holding on to those Scriptures. And it just, you know, not feeling it. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Do you ever see those Jimmy Dean sausage commercials, you know? You know, he's the sausage. He's like the sun, you know, and he's just brightening up everybody's life. It's a great analogy when you think about it. All those commercials, he's just going around brightening everybody up. That's what the sun does. The Son of God brightens us up. Amen. Of course, he uses Jimmy Dean sausage. But anyway, he walks in his one office and here's Rainbow. And she's a rainbow and it's all blue. Oh, what's wrong? You know, and why so blue? You know, and he says, well, you hadn't had your breakfast? Well, you know, we might say you hadn't had your Word yet.
Yeah, come on.
Hadn't got into your Word yet. And the Son is not carrying Jimmy Dean sausage. He's carrying around the promises of God. The reason you're so blue and all the colors of the rainbow are not showing in your life is because you haven't had breakfast yet.
Yeah.
Are you out there? But then, of course, when you get breakfast, I'm telling you, the colors of the rainbow come up and even the pot of gold shows up at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all seen that commercial, but anyway. Isaiah 41, found it? This is an awesome, how poetic. I mean, Isaiah, of all the books of the Bible, to me, is just so grand and majestic the way he talks. I mean, it's just poetic the way he says things. In the 41st chapter, notice this. I love this verse in the 10th verse, and you'll know it very well when I start it. It says, fear not, for I am with you.
Yeah.
I am with you. See, that's the thing we got to realize. I started out saying this, that, you know, some things are pretty simple. We got to remember life's a battle. We got an enemy, an adversary, the devil. But, you know, we got an ally, God. He's with us. And we win this deal. It's a fight of faith, and if we believe, we win. The Bible says we win.
Yeah.
Well, notice it says here, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." The Amplified says on this word here, strengthen, the Amplified says, "I will harden you to difficulties." Man, I love that. "I will harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The J.B. Rotherham Bible says, "I have emboldened thee, yea, I have helped thee. I have upheld thee with my righteous right hand." Now think about this. You know, when you think of harden, I've used this example many times. When you think about harden, in a negative sense, you know, a person that's a hard person is a person that's unaffected by the pain of someone, the tragedy of life. You know, someone's going through tragedy and pain and somebody doesn't even give them the time of day, and we'll say, "That's a hard man. That's a hard man." His own kids wouldn't even help his own kids. They're over there suffering and crying. He wouldn't even reach out to help them. He's a hard man. He's unaffected by what's going on. He's hardened. When you're hardened to something, you're unaffected. You're cold and unaffected by it. That's a negative thing. But God's talking about something very positive here. We're not hardened to mercy, not hardened to love. We love people. We're merciful people. But when difficulty comes, when battles come, when opposition comes, when the bad report comes, hello,
yeah,
when the crisis hits, God will harden us to difficulty. And we will be unaffected by it.
Yeah, good.
That's good. That's a good hardening.
Amen.
That's not a hard heart to the tragedy of life. That is a hardness to the difficulties that we're going through.
Yeah.
We'll toughen up. And God says He will harden us to difficulty. He will strengthen us. In fact, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of you doing this by yourself. Not only do you have an enemy, but you got an ally. Amen?
Right.
Not only do you have an adversary, you got someone strengthening you. And I love, I quoted it already, but 1 John 4:4, it says, "You have overcome them. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." And we overcome these battles by believing and by trusting God. Kind of made full circle here. 1 John 5:4-5 again. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So how are we going to overcome? See, that challenges us. That's not just a promise without a condition. That's He's telling us we overcome by meeting the condition of faith, that we believe. Fight the good fight of faith. Here's how you win the battles. Believe God. Trust God.
Endure
hardness as a good soldier. Discipline yourself. Train yourself. Work at it. It takes work. I mean, some days you do better than others, but don't quit. Don't you give up. You stay with it. You go through the motions. You say what God says. You pray God's word. You get people to believe with you. You start trusting God. Start thanking Him for the answer. Maybe nothing will happen right away. That's okay. You're going to get better at it. You're going to get better at it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You get to where you can run a block. And then you get to where you can run two blocks. And hallelujah, before long, you're running a mile. Woo! Glory to God. And before long, you don't even realize it. You're running 2 miles. But you don't just get up and go run 2 miles. You get up and run down the block.
Yeah.
If you can't believe God for a hamburger, you're not going to believe God for cancer. Are you with me? But if you're just believing God all the time, it doesn't matter what hits. Believing God's what we do. We're used to believing God. We've been doing it every day. We've been trusting Him over and over. We don't have to go find those promises. We know where those promises are. We don't have to go dig up a scripture on healing. We've been quoting those scriptures every day. We know exactly where those scriptures on healing are.
Yeah.
We've been training.
Yeah. That's good.
Got them right here. Got those scriptures on healing right here. Go over them all the time. Speak them all the time. I say them when I feel good. When I don't have anything wrong. Oh, there's scriptures on prosperity right there. I don't have to go find them. I know them. I know what they are. I can quote them already. Hello. And on and on and on. List of them. Do you know? Do you know where they are? Do you know how to put that gun together? Mm-hmm. Blindfolded. Not in church. Without any concordance. Can you quote one? You see what we're saying? See, we're in a battle here. We've got to realize this. There's a battle going on. It's not between the Democrats and Republicans. It's the devil and you. He wants to get you out of the Word and off the Word and get the Word, you know, out of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But you, if you refuse to let Him do that, if you just refuse to quit, you will win. You know, the greatest key to success, I'd say, in our church. Here we are 27 plus years down the road, and starting new ministries. You know, we just started a food ministry, and God's blessing. And I know there's been something going on in the economy. I hear about it all the time. But you know what? We just plow right through it and just keep giving to missions and starting new ministries and paying cash. And we're completely out of debt. But the greatest key, I think, to our success is the fact that we never quit. We've had some pretty tough years. But we kept believing. And we still said what God said. And we still prayed what God said. I still preached what God said to preach. There's times that we were just teetering on the edge financially as far as the church. We had some tough, tough years. One year we paid 9 late payments in 1 year. We paid them, though. We paid them and we stayed current. We were believing God to get the payment done. I worked in Dallas. I had to go to work in Dallas and was working 50 and 60 hours a week in Dallas, and I was off on Wednesdays and Sundays. I didn't quit the church because this is my calling. God told me to do this. But I also have a responsibility to my family to feed them, because if I don't feed them, I'm worse than infidel. So I went to work and I did that. We got behind on our house. Our house was going into foreclosure. Had 2 weeks left before they were going to foreclose and evict us, and God did a miracle. You know about that, Mo, you know. But, you know, we didn't quit believing God. We didn't quit saying, oh, this stuff, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Are you kidding? That's when we started digging in deeper. That's when we started saying, yes, 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 God's Word is true. God's Word is true. We didn't get up here and beg. We didn't take any crisis offerings. We got up and preached that God wants to bless us. We're blessed. Can't be cursed. Hallelujah. God delights in your prosperity and daily loads us with our benefits, and He supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord's our shepherd, and we shall not want. We didn't get up and say we're about to go under. What are we going to do? People, I tell you what, if we don't do something, we're about to lose everything we got. You never heard that come out of my mouth. We never preached that. And Moses, an elder in church, he knows there are times that it looked that way. But that wasn't what God said. And so we didn't quit saying what God said. We didn't quit doing what God said. And you know what? We didn't quit the church and stop the church and shut the doors. We kept it going. And then, hallelujah, we just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. And we wore the devil out.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, he still comes. Don't get me wrong. There are times he comes with different things. But I tell you what, we beat him on that deal. We beat him because we wouldn't quit. Because we obeyed God and we believed God and we stood on God's Word. And we proved God's Word. We proved His promise. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's good.
So, here we are, out of debt. Instead, I mean, we had a pastor call us during that time and say, hey, we'd be interested in buying y'all's building. We heard y'all want to sell your building. I mean, talk was getting around town. And I said, what? Well, I just thought y'all, we're needing a building, and we just heard y'all were, having trouble. Let's know if we don't want to sell your building. I said, sell our building? No, we're not wanting to sell our building. I said, why in the world would I sell? That's what I said. So why in the world would we sell our building?
Yeah.
Well, I just thought we all need. I said, let me tell you something. This is exactly what I said. Not only are we not selling our building, we're going to pay our building off early. Yeah. Now, that was the year we paid all the late payments. That was a faith statement, I can tell you. And the person wasn't being malicious. I mean, they just heard something and they were calling. It's somebody I know. I mean, it's somebody that I was friends with, another minister. And but you know how rumors get flying. Small towns aren't much to see, but what you hear makes up for it. But we kept believing. And you know, finally, we broke that ribbon, crossed that finish line, got this thing paid off. Then, boy, I mean, it was just cash all the way. Now we got 45 acres. Building a gymnasium, paying cash. Started a food ministry, paying cash. Got a television ministry, cash. Television channel 16. in Edgewood and Wills Point that we run 24 hours a day, cash. We give generally $100,000 a year. We gave $97,000 last year to missions. We've given over $1 million in missions in the last 10 years. So you go from 1 year where you pay 9 late payments and you don't quit, you don't give up, and you keep believing, and you fight the fight, you keep running the race, and you keep planting the seed, and you keep watering, and you keep weeding. You go from a year when you barely make it to a year of abundance and increase because you don't quit. You might be in that bad time in your life. I don't know. We all go through times. I mean, but you don't quit. We may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but hey, we'll fear no evil because he's with us. His rod and his staff comforts us. Maybe you're going through a terrible divorce. I don't know. Maybe you're going through financial. Maybe you're going through a physical health problem. I don't know. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to give up. This is the time to dig in, believe God, and stand on his word. And discipline yourself, and God will harden you to difficulties, and you will see the sun shine again. It will come. It will come. Hallelujah. God always comes through. Hallelujah. So cheer up. Amen. Fight the fight. Let's win this. We're in it to win it. Hallelujah.